May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, George works in a local care home looking after the elderly, and he's very good at his job. For example, during the admission procedure, he always asks new arrivals if they're allergic to anything. And if they are, he prints it on an allergy band, which he places on their wrist. One day he asks a new arrival, "Okay, Becky, I have just one more thing to ask you. Are you allergic to anything?" "Yes, I am," replies Becky. "I'm allergic to bananas." Later that morning, Becky's son comes storming angrily into the office and he shouts, "Okay, who's responsible for labeling my mother bananas?" So in our gospel reading today, we're told that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and this marks a turning point in the story. There was to be more direct confrontation with the authorities as Jesus sets out for Jerusalem. The popular, exciting days of miracles and crowds begins to fade, and harder lessons have to be learned. Jesus had sent his disciples ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare things for him, but people there didn't welcome him or the disciples. Why did they not welcome him? Well, we're told it was because Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along, and they didn't like it that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, the heart of Judaism. Samaria was a region in northern Israel, and it was a term of contempt to the Jews. The Samaritans had some idolatrous practices, and their religion was not considered to be pure enough. They built their own temple in Samaria to rival the Jerusalem temple, and they had different beliefs, and even the Samaritan food was considered to be unclean to the Jews. And elsewhere in Luke's gospel, Jesus stressed the incompleteness of the Samaritan tradition, and there was great division between Samaritan and Jew. The kind of rejection that Jesus experienced in that Samaritan village would grow as he journeyed to Jerusalem. And rejection not only of Jesus, but of his disciples as well. Following Jesus is not easy, and it involves sacrifices and conflicts. One of the most simple kinds of sacrifice that we're challenged to make is basically whether or not to attend church on Sunday. How many of us are challenged on a Sunday to either attend church or to go shopping or to spend time with the family? Our priorities are challenged. Are we missing the opportunity to witness to Christ by putting church first and doing family things after? It's a very hard challenge, especially when you don't get to see your family very often, and you know that there's no way that they'll come to church with you. So is there anything we can learn from today's gospel? Maybe the lesson is that people are called to follow Jesus, but not everyone is prepared to do this. One man enthusiastically offers to come with Jesus, saying, "I will follow you wherever you go." And we see Jesus having to dampen his enthusiasm somewhat and bring the guy down to earth by pointing out the hardship of the road. Jesus said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head," meaning that literally, following Jesus meant that there were no practical living arrangements and a definite lack of home comforts. He was warning us that we needed to understand and accept such hardship and count the cost before committing. Another person is called to follow, but only wants to be a part-time disciple. Jesus is warning about only a partial commitment, and his reply to the man who wanted to bury his father was unequivocal. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So that's such a big challenge, pitting one's personal life and relationship with one's family against the life of discipleship. And Jesus is putting it in a black and white, all or nothing context. Think about our baptismal promises. They put us on the spot. In them, we're committing to Christ. We're renouncing evil and doing all in our power to live out our Christian calling. We're free to make that choice, but once made, there's no getting away from the fact that we have made vows and have committed to putting Christ first and living differently. Living as committed Christians means that we need to be walking in step with the Holy Spirit. We need a greater level of self-awareness and to spend time in prayer and reflection to honestly assess that we're not straying too far from the path. In the letter to the Galatians, St. Paul helpfully gives us a whole list of examples to check our behavior against so that we can adjust accordingly if we stray. Such discipline is not because we somehow need to earn God's blessing by trying to be good. The reason why we try to be good is in response to God's blessing. We love because God first loved us. We're responding to Him. Our response to Christ and all that He has done for us is to be holy and to love our neighbor and one another unconditionally. We live by the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit. The new Gentile Christians had to learn that they didn't have to follow all those zillions of laws with its many rules in order to fulfill the law of love. And the result of following the law of love is to receive the fruits of the Spirit. So it's not all just grim and hard work and put that nose to the grindstone. Our Lord rewards us for our faith and obedience in following Him through the fruits of the experience. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit and enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. One of the takeaways from the gospel is that not everyone is called to wander with Jesus around the countryside. Not every disciple is called to preach and to heal the sick. St. Paul lists many gifts of the Spirit, but we don't all possess every gift. But I do believe that we are all called to minister to those in our midst. Can we chat about the good news to our own people in our own communities? Can we bear witness to Jesus, to the fruits of the Spirit, to unconditional love in our respective places of work or home? We have committed to following Christ, and it's up to each one of us to seriously figure out how to do that. We all need to pray and discern what exactly Jesus is calling us to do. I believe that we all have a purpose in life, some way of serving Jesus. At this relatively late stage in our lives, have we achieved that purpose? Is it to faithfully love our family, to faithfully love a spouse, to faithfully give our best at work, or to volunteer in the community? Have we even yet identified what our purpose may be? Think about it, because you may discover that there's more that you can do in loving service for our Lord than what you are doing now. We all know what it's like to give excuses for not doing something. For example, at school, did you ever use the excuse, "The dog ate my homework"? We saw in the gospel reading the sorts of excuses that people made for not following Christ. Jesus didn't like the excuses that people were giving him. To the one who wanted to go back and say goodbye to his family, Jesus bluntly said, "No man who starts to plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Just reflecting on that gospel passage, I wonder if Jesus was in a grumpy mood or something. Because he was pretty stark in what he was saying. Perhaps the takeaway from today's gospel is that we're called by God to do more. What will that look like? At the very least, let's not be complacent about our faith. Jesus was calling those who would give up everything, family, friends, their job, and follow him. What he got instead was excuses. So Jesus is still calling us today, "Follow me." And the question is, will you follow or will you make excuses? May the Holy Spirit always, daily, guide our response through Christ our Lord. Amen.